Hey guys, it's Scott, and this is Food for Thought for John 3, verses 1 through 21. If you don't have those verses in mind as you're reading that, if you've not read them recently, I would encourage you to go read that first, and then listen to this so that you have those words fresh in your mind. A couple contextual things. First, I think I've said this probably in previous Food for Thought stuff, or maybe in discipleship guides back in the day or what have you, but understanding what Jesus is referring to when he calls himself the Son of Man is super important to understanding really what Jesus is trying to say about himself, what the Jewish people were expecting, all of that. And so I would encourage you, if you've not read Daniel 7, 9 through 22, or if you're not familiar with that, go back and read that because that gives a very specific picture about who God's people were waiting for and who Jesus is saying himself to be. It's not just that Jesus is a human. That's not at all what it's referring to. I mean, it is referring to that in a bit, but the title Son of Man is specifically an allusion back to Daniel 7, verses 9 through 22. So check those out. It will do you good just in terms of even reading the New Testament and understanding what is going on when they refer to him that way. I think it's the title that Jesus uses for himself more than any other title. So go check that out. Secondly, contextually, there's a little phrase in here that's stirred lots of conversation about what it means. Being born of water and the Spirit being a thing that's needed to have entrance into the kingdom. And it might seem like nuance or something that is not a big deal or what have you, but because Jesus essentially ties it to being in the kingdom, it is kind of important to know. It's significant if it is something that's tied to being able to be part of God's family. So just to tease out what maybe John is referring to and using that phrase, a couple ways that it's been understood. One is it's referring to a natural birth and then the new birth, being born again. But that's not really supported in the Greek or in the historical way that's been understood. Being born of the water and the Spirit's probably not referring to natural birth and then the new birth. Also, born of the water and the Spirit, probably not referring to water baptism and then Spirit baptism, whether that is a separate spiritual, Holy Spirit baptism or whatever, or whether that's just New Covenant baptism. It's probably not referring to that because the phrase, being born of water and the Spirit, it doesn't seek to contrast those two things, but it treats them as one. It seeks to unify those things together. Water baptism is not something that's necessary for the kingdom. It's something that we're called to do in the church. That's part of when someone believes, we get to baptize them. But it's not if you can't find water, don't get dunked, then you're not part of God's kingdom. That's not at all. And then lastly to that, that kind of Christian baptism, that new covenant baptism, it can't be assumed yet. And Jesus kind of assumes that Nicodemus should know about that here, the way he kind of interacts with him in this passage, because the new covenant hasn't been sealed yet. Jesus has not gone to the cross, died, been buried, and then rose again. So it can't be referring to water baptism and then a later spiritual baptism, which is why I think this third option is kind of where I land on this, where lots of people land on it, is that being born of the water and the Spirit, it's more referring to purification and then new life. So being made clean and then having new life in Christ put in you. So the water stuff, this comes up, it's already come up in John in the past. It's going to come up again over the next few focal passages, and it's going to it's ties specifically to purification in a number of places. In 325, the next time it comes up, it's going to, next week's passage, it'll be tied to purification there. Even the reference of water and the Spirit could be a callback to Ezekiel 36. 25 through 27, that's a picture of the new covenant, what God will do with his people, that he's going to sprinkle them with water and make them clean, and then he's going to put his Spirit within them to cause them to walk in his ways. And then shortly after that, it's the Valley of the Dry Bones and all that. So anyways, lots of allusions here to the fact that this being born of water and the Spirit is probably referring to people being made clean and purified, but then also being given new life by having the Spirit reside in them. So those are two contextual things. Son of Man stuff, born of water and the Spirit stuff. Just as you go into that, might be confusing. Now you can say you know a little bit about all of that. As it relates to the content of this focal passage, we see that the kingdom of God is supernatural, right? So there are signs. Those signs can be from God. Nicodemus acknowledges that. And Nicodemus can see the signs, and yet he's apparently not seeing the kingdom for all that it is. Seeing and entering the kingdom does mean being born again, but it seems like Nicodemus isn't seeing that. He's seeing the signs, but not the kingdom, because he's not been born again. And this shouldn't be a surprise, apparently, to Nicodemus. Just as the wind has, he kind of comes and goes, you don't know exactly where it's going. The Spirit is also coming and going as it wants to bring new life to people. And apparently that hasn't happened to Nicodemus yet, but Jesus seems to say, like, don't you know that people need to be made clean and then receive the Holy Spirit to be born again in some way? And this is really the second thing, is that we need to be supernaturally reborn. So the kingdom of God is supernatural. We need to be supernaturally reborn so that we can enter into that kingdom. Again, we see that in the water and the Spirit stuff, that we get to be made clean so that God can reside in us. The Holy Spirit cannot take up residence inside of us if we are not clean, if God has not made us pure. And so that's what we get to look forward to in the gospel. That's what we get to see in the gospel, is that literally Jesus, because of his life and death, he makes us clean so the Holy Spirit can live inside of us. What we see here is that judgment is already on us, right? So we need to be supernaturally reborn because judgment is already here. It's not that Jesus came, showed up to condemn people, because we stand to be condemned already. We're already dead in our sin, and so we need to be made alive again. That's what this passage points us to. And we get to enjoy that supernatural rebirth, and this is the third point, through the Son of Man. So the kingdom of God is supernatural. We need to be supernaturally reborn, and that spiritual rebirth, or that supernatural rebirth, comes through the Son of Man. We get to receive that water and that Spirit through him because he alone knows it. He alone can bring it, right? The only person that can ascend into heaven is the one who descended from heaven, like Jesus did, being born of a woman, even though he lived in eternity past with the Father. And so even the pictures of this serpent in the wilderness from Moses' ministry being lifted up, and then people looked on that serpent after they were bitten by these snakes to be healed and to be given life again. All of that points to the fact that we get to receive eternal life only through the Son of Man, when he would be lifted up on the cross and then later ascending into heaven, lifted up and seated at the right hand of God. And this is the way, this picture of Jesus on the cross being lifted up, Jesus ascending, this is the way in which God loved the world. So this is John 3:16 stuff. Man, this is like the passage here. Really important that when we come to the God so loved the world, not talking about like God loved the world so much, but we're talking about God loved the world in such a way. That's what the so means there. Not so much, but so as in this way. In this way, God loved the world in Jesus, that he would send his Son to give us eternal life. And he gave us light. He brings light into the darkness. He gives life, not condemnation. And he brings good works to light for the glory of God, which is just a beautiful picture of what Jesus' ministry is. Sin is already here. Death is already here. The ministry of Jesus is to bring life and light and bring to light the good works of God. And this specifically here, this is just a conversation. Obviously, it's for us, right? That we might believe, the readers of this gospel, John's writing this so they might believe in Christ. But this conversation is specifically for Nicodemus, which is just a really cool thing, because Nicodemus is sneaking away in dark at nighttime to come and talk to Jesus. Like he even says, like, we all know that you're probably doing this stuff. You're doing these works. They have to be from the Lord, all this stuff. But like, but he feels that he has to still sneak away and come ashamed, hidden, under the cover of darkness to come talk to Jesus. And what Jesus is saying is like, bro, like I'm here to shine light on things. You don't have to be ashamed about any of this stuff. I've come to bring light. You get to be reborn by the Spirit. And so this conversation is specifically for Nicodemus, this guy who has coming to Jesus in the middle of the night, which is just a really cool thing. Some questions you can ask are you coming to Jesus by night? Are you embarrassed about something? Are you ashamed of yourself and you feel like you can't approach Jesus? Or are you ashamed of Jesus and feel like you can't come to him publicly or acknowledge him publicly for some reason? If so, why? In what way does that play out in your life? What does it mean to be born again or to be born of water and the Spirit? Just ask that question. What does it actually mean? If it's like the wind blowing, then how were we born again? What part do we play in that? And how is belief in the Son of Man and being born again, how are those two things connected? What's the purpose of the Son of God coming? And how are people going to respond to that? How will people respond to you? Maybe how have people responded to you if you've talked about Jesus before? Because Jesus says that people love the darkness. They don't like it when the light comes because it makes them want to flee and run away and hide. And so how have people responded to you when you've maybe talked about Jesus or talked about the Lord in some way? How will they if you've not had that experience yet? And what's the good news that you get to bring into those circumstances? Maybe another way of thinking about that is how do we learn to love the light? How is the light something that we can learn to love, that we can be brought into? Instead of just loving the darkness, how do we learn to love the light? How do we help others do that? So just a few questions there that hopefully point to the gospel and lead to some really Jesus-centered conversations for you. Big picture vision of what it looks like just to be disciples saved by Jesus from this passage is that we get to be an unashamed people who are of the kingdom, who behold and believe in Jesus for eternal life, for purity, for forgiveness, who love the light and doing the works of God and showing that they are from the Lord as well. That's what disciples look like. That's who we get to be unashamed, even though we are sinners that aren't deserving of anything. God loved us first. He so loved the world, which included us, that he sent his only son to us. And so that's the message that we get to take to the world as well. Not that like people have to shape up or ship out or that we do, that we have to keep something or earn something or whatever, but that we get to receive the love of God. We get to be recipients of that. And out of that, we then get to let God's love flow from us and to others. Invitations to enter the light and to find life in Christ when we find his forgiveness, the fact that he makes us clean and he gives us not just himself, but he sends us the Spirit to live in us, to take up residence with us, and like Ezekiel 36 says, to help cause us to walk in his ways. So hopefully that is a little bit helpful as you're thinking about this particular passage. If you have any questions, hit me up, and I'll see you next time.